number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Mixmaster Mike is here, the man who's been playing with the Beastie Boys for many years now, is going to be in studio tonight. He's coming from San Francisco. They were socked in, but I heard he landed here in L.A.
He's on his way to the studio.
And we ain't too far from LAX, so he's en route, so he should be here momentarily. And you know what I like? I got some questions. I got a list here that says, here are some questions you might want to ask Mike.
Nice.
Which I never get, but I'm more than willing to work off
like
this page.
Like a real radio show.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's your favorite moment on the road? Shut up. How'd you hook up with the Beastie Boys? There's one I'd like to know. How'd you get your start behind the turntable? All questions that will be answered when Mixmaster Mike comes into the studio. His new CD, Spin Cycle, will be out Tuesday, the 11th, this coming Tuesday. And he's going to do a sign-in over at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset. That's coming up on Monday, and we'll get into all that with him as soon as he walks in here. Drew?
Yep.
You all right?
Yeah. You?
You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
All right.
Carrie?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
When I lost my virginity, we didn't use protection. So I went and got the morning after pill the next day.
Fabulous.
It's by Preven.
Preven, yeah, good, excellent.
And then I took it twice.
Yeah?
But at the same, I took two at the same time. And then I took one another 12 hours later.
Well, did you take it how they told you to take it?
No, it's supposed to be one, and then 12 hours later, take another one.
Why did you do it the way you did it?
I was in a rush. I was supposed to be at work at 11, and I was supposed to be at work at 10, and I got there.
How did you get three pills?
They give you a pack of four, so you can use it twice.
Nice. All right, so you essentially...
I got to tell you, I always thought it was... I could be wrong on this. I haven't opened a Preven pack in a long time, but I thought you took two and then two 12 hours later.
That's what I thought. That's because I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and that's what I had thought, but I was wrong.
That they give you two separate doses?
Mm-hmm.
A comeback in case you want to slip up again?
Yeah, that's what I had read in the... paper.
Well, good. Why not? Listen, Band-Aids don't just come with one in the box. They come with a few.
It was two and then two more. I thought that's
Listen, who cares what you think, Drew?
Let's go get one, open it up.
Okay, here's my point. I don't understand why you couldn't have taken one with you to work. Is it a big pill?
But the point is, you from the standpoint of where you think you're supposed to have taken it, you just took too much.
Yeah.
That's fine. Too much is okay. Too little is the problem.
But then I had unprotected sex again last night, and then
that's why they give you two.
But I had one in the package.
Yeah.
So I took.
Hold on a second. You know, talking to Carrie sounds like talking to a 7-year-old about what they got for Christmas, except where we're talking about birth control. You know, and I had a sock, and it had candy in it, and then there was I got a train. Then doesn't it? It's just kind of surreal.
And I took this pill, and I didn't get pregnant.
So I threw the pills outside, and a beanstalk grew, and I climbed it, and there was a giant up there and a goose. Gary?
Yeah.
All right, baby.
I love you. You are such a pimp.
A poop?
A pimp.
Pimp. That's good, Drew.
Oh.
Okay, so. Now you had unprotected sex again, and now you only have one pill left.
I took Preven, and then I took Protection B.
Plan B.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You should be fine. I love you, Carrie. You have all the different morning after pills available. No matter what the brand is, you keep it around. But listen, how about getting a more sort of premeditated birth control?
Yeah, I want to know the difference between Depo and... regular birth control, and which one is better?
Well, the Depo, it sounds like for you, Carrie, might be more the trick.
The other one requires you taking a pill every day.
Yeah, every day at the same time, exactly. And not missing any, ever.
Which one?
All the pills. The Depo, you just take a shot and you're good for 3 months.
But what's the side effects of Depo?
The Depo, you bleed a lot the first 3 months, and then you don't bleed at all after that. And you get a little sort of irritable and some... sometimes depression, sometimes some drop in libido. But that's about it. Some women don't notice it at all.
All right. You need to get on the one that takes the least thinking.
Yeah, it is the one that for which they're the improvement in teen pregnancy is being blamed on, being felt to be responsible as the Depo-Provera show.
Right, which is good. Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. Well, I've had a boyfriend for over 2.5 years now, and he's really great. And the only problem is that I have never had an orgasm or felt any sexual pleasure in any way. And
do you see how she said orgasm?
What's that?
Did you notice that accent?
Yeah, Minnesota?
Yeah, then sort of in Chicago, in that area.
Right.
Yeah,
remember the girl last night who said that she was from Virginia?
Chicago?
Yeah.
Had the same accent.
I know, Drew. Mm-hmm. Now be quiet. Let's try to get through some calls. Amanda, I'm sorry you've never had an orgasm.
Yeah, and
and you say not only no orgasm, but no sexual pleasure?
No. And, you know, I tell people this, and they, like, look at me like, no. And so I went to my gynecologist, and, you know, I talked to her about this, and she, like, kind of was like, well, we can't know that unless we run some tests and all this. And she gave me a number for a sexual dysfunction doctor, and, you know, so I don't really want to go jumping into this because I'm only, you know, 18, and, you know, I'm freshman year in college.
Well, are you in love with your boyfriend?
Yes.
And shouldn't you get a certain amount of satisfaction just out of the intimacy that you two experience?
That's where the problem comes in, because, you know, we're so close. You know, he understands complete. Well, you know.
No. You're missing the point, I think.
What's that?
Don't you get a satisfaction of just being close to him and intimate with him? I mean, there's a lot of women can't have an orgasm, but they enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah, but see, that's where my problem comes in. Yes, your question, yes. But, you know, the thing is I do want to do it. You know, I get, you know, aroused, and I get totally into it, and we start, and I sense it feels like nothing. You know, I, you know, kind of lose interest.
It's interesting. I find it's interesting, Amanda, that even in talking to you, there's a disconnect. Notice that? You go in one direction, and there's this disconnect, and she starts going off in her own direction.
Right. Your brain is disconnected from your vagina, and your mouth is disconnected from your brain.
It's all disconnected from
everything's her. Disconnected.
Yeah, it's all disconnected from her feelings, is really the bottom line here. Now, a common way that kind of disconnect occurs is some sort of trauma.
No, I was not sexually abused. I was not. No, my family is great, and I honestly can. You can ask me all these things. I've been fine my whole life. And
are your parents like a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or something? They're very religious. A cold.
See, they hadn't been my whole life, and I guess now that they're starting to get into Christianity more, but that hasn't really affected me at all. I mean, I'm into religion myself.
Are you on any medication?
Now I'm on, they switched me so much, because I had bad cramps, so I got on birth control when I was, like, 16.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of them worked, so they kept switching me from pill to pill to pill, and now I think I'm on Zovia, so.
Zovia?
What,
Wait a minute, Zovia.
What's a Russian gymnast? 72 Olympics?
What's in Zovia?
Oh, she probably just
there's
made
a new
up.
One. There's a new one, Yasmin, that's got the big, heavy progesterone. But listen.
She was on Baywatch.
I think, Amanda, I really believe this, that not enough emphasis is put on the way these hormones influence women. And I really am increasingly convinced that it's different for different women how they're influenced by estrogen or progesterone. But some of these chemicals, some of these hormones can really profoundly influence your libido.
See,
and your,
I actually thought about that.
Yeah.
But then I've been having this problem before I even got on the pill.
Yeah, but
well,
16
what religion are you getting into?
Well, I have been a Christian.
Oh, you said you're getting into it again, though?
No. See, my parents always kind of not, they were in Christianity, but then they kind of fell out of it through the years. And, you know, I was introduced to it more in my high school years. And since then, I've been kind of going, you know, researching it, trying to find. But
what do you think you have some problem with having sex and being into Christianity?
Well, that's my problems with Christianity. But see, that doesn't, you know, that's my problem with, oh, well, am I really a Christian? But because I do want to do that. And that's just a choice that I've chosen. But
okay,
the fact is that, yeah, you know, with my boyfriend, yeah, you know, whom I love very much, and he loves me, he, you know, he feels that he's not satisfying me, and he thinks it's his fault, but I feel it's my fault, and, you know, I feel bad. And then because...
Hold on, Drew, what was my original question? She's so up in her head. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
She needs to, like, do a bong load and have a glass of wine and just get effed for a change. She's all over the place. You imagine having sex with her? She's talking the whole way and trying to find her orgasm and telling you she can't feel anything and then reading the Bible halfway into it.
Yeah.
She's all up in her head.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like a hippie here, but you know what I'm saying?
I could get
zero connection from her. Right. I keep trying to talk to her, and it's like she's all over the place.
She spins out, yeah. And I really, a place for her to start is, listen, maybe less progesterone, more estrogen than the pills you're taking. Try maybe a triphasic pill. And then why all the pelvic pain? And focus on all that if that's really not an issue for you.
Okay, and listen, start embracing Satan for now. This Jesus thing's not working out for you, man. You're doing too much thinking and not enough feeling. Just close your eyes, drink half a bottle of red wine, and try to get into the... Put on some Marvin Gaye, would you?
Trust me.
I okay. She's angry, too, and weird.
I think it is reasonable for you to talk to one of these sexual dysfunction folks, because this is a significant issue for you, and I think it may be these pills you're on. It really might be.
All right. She had some energy, man.
Yeah, all right.
Melissa?
Yes.
You're 32?
Yes.
What's up?
I am in a really bad place.
You're in Detroit?
No.
All right, baby.
To give you a little background, I've been severely depressed since I was a pretty young kid. And I have fought suicidal feelings on a daily basis.
Have you been treated for that?
I have tried every method of treatment available.
You've had ECT?
ECT as well.
When was that last done?
That's electroshock therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it did nothing. If anything, it made me worse.
You finished a course of ECT?
No, actually, I stopped it prematurely because I was losing such large chunks of my memory.
Okay, well, here's how ECT works. For the first 6 treatments, you get worse. And the memory can be profound. And somewhere around 10, you'll start improving, and the memory problems get better. So if you stop midstream, it's going to be worse. You've not had that form of treatment yet.
And at 145, you reach nirvana.
No. But the point is you've not really had a course at that yet. So that's one thing you've not tried.
Well, let's try to figure out why you're so depressed. Do you have any
friends?
Well,
my family is like one of the most screwed up families on the face of the earth.
Yeah. Well, listen.
And both of my parents were mentally ill and never sought treatment, never got any kind of help or medication.
All right. Well, let's focus on the positive here for a second. Football season starting Sunday. That's number one. You have anything you like? Anything you like to do? Any music you like?
Yeah, I like music, but
You have any kids?
No.
You have an old man? That's good. Do you have an old man?
No.
Do you like guys?
Not anymore.
You like girls?
No.
You have any friends?
No, I don't. I have no friends. I have no family. I have no coworkers.
Well, what do you do? Well, do you work?
No, I'm disabled because of my depression.
Yeah. How about working and getting some friends or some kind of support from someone?
I'm just too messed up in my head after 18 plus years of chronic mental abuse and
Well, here's the thing, Melissa. I don't want to make things worse than they are, but you got a bad shake in life. You know, you're like somebody got in a horrible accident when you were 5 years old.
That's right.
The van rolled and you weren't wearing your seatbelt and you went through the windshield kind of thing. And now your life is a life of rehab. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a marriage. It doesn't mean you can't have kids. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. But it means there's work. I mean, you have a disability and you got to work.
And I know it feels like it would be better if you did have a spinal cord injury, but the reality is this is more treatable. And if you really stay with the work and stay connected with people and...
Yeah.
Well...
Medication, therapy, all that stuff.
I am as connected to the two of you as I am to anyone on the face of the planet right now.
Well, thanks.
And...
Well, listen, you know we're geniuses, right?
Yes, I was aware of that.
Okay, so we have all the answers, and the answer is work. I mean, and it's hard...
Well, see, the answer is people.
All right, well, quiet down over there.
I've been working on this now for a good 15 years.
Well, you're due, then. I mean, look, here's the problem. When you're depressed, the first thing that goes is your energy. And when you have no energy, it's hard to work at something.
When,
so
when
it's
you're
a little
hopeless,
bit of a catch-22. When
you don't have any hope that things will be effective, it's hard also.
Yeah, but it's really, you feel fatigued all the time.
And hopeless.
Well, I don't know if
you made your point.
Say this on the air.
Is it the F word?
No, it's
all right,
not
go ahead.
Bad
go
like
ahead.
That. But,
go ahead.
You know, I just think that there are some people that have had enough pain and are screwed up enough in their head because of their parents and enough sheer terror and anguish that the most humane thing you can do for them, you know, or for them to do is to commit suicide.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. But I don't think that's you.
I don't look at it as harming myself. I look at it as actually helping myself.
I would agree with Adam that both of us get something from you. That there's you have something there. It's not like you're completely vacant. You're empty. You're just done. You're there. You're alive. You're real, and that deserves a chance at life. It really does. And B, I've not met that person that's truly untreatable. I've met plenty of people that are chronic and recurrent, but I've not met that person that has no capacity to respond to treatment.
Didn't you marry her?
That's
your wife you're talking about.
Nice.
I've seen a zillion therapists and psychiatrists, and I'm all out of money after all the therapy.
Right. Listen, how about my therapy? You get up early and go for a 5-mile walk every morning and listen to a bunch of classical music.
Maybe go to some 12-step meetings. Just try to get connected that way.
No, it's going to take more than 12 steps to walk 5 miles. You got to just start walking and listening to classical music. I know it sounds too easy and retarded. You show me a person who can scrape their sorry, depressed ass out of bed every morning at 7:30 and go for a walk or a jog for a few miles and listen to some Beethoven, and I'm going to show you a person who's on their way to recovery. If you can get yourself to do that, you can do it. I mean, you can fix yourself.
Hmm.
Why can't you just do that, Drew?
Because it's...
Just get up and go for a walk. Get a Walkman, get some headphones, and go for a walk and listen to a bunch of classical music.
Because depression is probably a constellation of problems.
You can't
it's
move.
It's not a single illness.
Yeah, but listen...
You had one kind, I had one kind. There's all kinds of depression out there. I used to deal with it by working out in the morning.
That's what you got to do. You have to do... Here's the key to success in life. Don't do anything you want to do, and do everything you don't feel like doing.
Immediately.
You will be tremendously successful. All right, I'm going to go whack off and take a nap.
Because you don't want to do that.
Well, I don't. No, that's right. See, Drew, you got to pick early what you don't want to do, and then you win on technicality.
Obviously, you must have heeded the idea of masturbation and napping.
That's right. All right. We're going to take a little break. Mixmaster Mike is on his way from the airport, or so we're... told. When we come back, we're going to speak to Melissa, who's overly horny, and her boyfriend can only do her once in a while. She wants to know what to do. Let me just say hi to her. Melissa?
Hello?
Are you extra horny?
Yeah.
And your boyfriend only gives you sex once a month?
Around something like that.
All right, so you just say yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. We'll take a little break. We'll get back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Love Line will be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mixmaster Mike is from the Beastie Boys, or with the Beastie Boys, is going to be in here. As soon as he gets here from LAX, he was coming from San Francisco, ran into a little weather. It, I guess, got socked in over there, as has been known to happen.
Oh,
and, bad times. I missed a flight or two that went through there in my day, although no one believed me, Drew. Okay, let's not live in the past. Let's go back to
you're talking about going to Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not believe you. It's that you didn't spend 5 minutes trying to reroute. You got back in your car and went home.
Drew, I've won over this with you and my management way more than once, jackass. Like
5,000 people in a basketball stadium. It's all right. Let them sit there. It's all right. Oh, no, put me out there by myself.
Listen, I went to many other airline desks and asked them how to get there, and they all had flights that were, you know, taken off or booked. It wasn't working. I went home. That's what they all told me. Hold on a second. How dare you? What do you think I want to do? Go down to LAX, walk around in a circle for an hour, and then go home for no pay? You think that's part of my plan?
No.
All right, then.
But, you know, I called a few people, and there were ways to get you there by 9.
Yeah.
So.
There were not. I was leaving at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The gig was at, like, 8, and it was socked in, San Francisco was. Right. I went to Alaska. I went to 2 other airlines, and they said it's not working. Jackass. I'm tired of explaining myself on this one. Mixmaster Mike's in the studio. How are you?
Yo,
there you are.
Yo.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
We're yelling about airlines.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fresh from the airport right now.
You got socked in San Francisco?
Yeah.
I was just saying that never happens.
He was being facetious. You know, I rarely do this, but Mike, his bio came with a list of questions you might want to ask him, and I thought, why do any work when I have a list here I can look at? So I'm going to ask you the questions based on these lists. I've checked a few off if you want to examine
them. Yeah, don't even ask him. Just hand them to him.
Okay, that's better.
You really wouldn't do any work.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to take a leak. If you could just read the question and then answer it, that'd be great.
So you want me to interview myself?
Well, essentially, yeah. I don't like to think of it that way. But, yeah, I'll throw in a question or two. But go ahead. Start at the top.
Okay, how did I get started behind the turntables?
That's well, how did you get started behind the turntables?
Well,
provocative.
In 1985, I was watching a concert with Herbie Hancock and Grandmixer DST, and they were performing the song Rocket,
mm-hmm.
if you guys remember.
Is that boom, 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 boom? Wait a minute, which one is that? I can remember the one from Beverly Hills Cop.
That's Axel F.
Okay.
That's Axel Foley's theme. No, but I watched this concert live with Grandmixer DST on the turntables.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching him scratch some records on the turntables, I was like, yo, that's what I want to be. So
I can never figure out why the thing doesn't swipe all the way down the record. I mean, well, why doesn't it skip and why doesn't it hop? You put like a couple nickels on it or something?
No, there's like special needles called the M447 Shures.
Mm-hmm.
That you put it on the vinyl and it just kind of like stays there like a magnet. So it's like a magnet to the groove.
Oh, really?
It stays when you move the record back and forth. It just stays on that one particular groove, mm-hmm. and you could just go berserk.
And so how do you get started? How do you practice at this?
You just got to have like an artillery of vinyl.
Well, I mean, when you after watching Herbie Hancock, you went home that night. Right?
I went home that night.
You beat off, and then?
No, I didn't beat off.
You went home, and you got
earlier
out
in the day.
Earlier in the day. Then you got a turntable. That's right. I went home.
You're the one that I beat off.
That's right.
I went and got some vinyl. No, dude, I went to go get some vinyl, and right. I put it on the record, and I put it on the turntable, and I start moving it back and forth. My own way. So,
right.
Yeah. I grabbed like a drum solo off of a Hendrix record.
Right.
And I replayed the whole song, the whole Foxy Lady theme.
Right.
With scratching.
And do you need 2 turntables to do it?
Yes. Well, 2, 3, whatever suits you best, you know. I use 2 turntables.
Yes, I would know. Is your right hand better than your left hand?
I'm kind of like ambidextrous.
Oh, really?
Like I bat both ways. So,
yeah.
So, you know, left, right, whatever.
What's the next question on there?
How did I hook up with the Beastie Boys?
Right. Good question.
Well, yeah. 1997. Well, I met Adam Yauch at a Roxanne anniversary in 1996, and we exchanged phone numbers and gave him my business card. He gave me his number, and we used to keep in contact. And after that, within a year, I left like 4 messages when he wasn't home, mm-hmm. like scratch messages, like, yo, Adam, check it out. This is the tweak scratch. And I left it on his answer machine. And so he was just like flabbergasted by it. Yeah, he liked
smart.
It.
Smart.
Called me back and was like, yo, we're working on a new album called Hello Nasty. And would you like to be a part of it? I was like, sure, fly me out there. And
so you
that
went
was
out
it.
To New York?
And, yeah, so they flew me out to New York and we had a whole session for like 2 weeks, worked on the Hello Nasty album, and the rest is history.
When you find a, I don't know, I mean, maybe it'd be like a guitar riff or something, but when you find a sound you like, is it hard to recreate sometimes?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, actually, it's like the mixer is like, it's like a guitar string.
Right.
The fader is like the guitar string, so it's like you can like chop up different sounds with like moving the fader back and forth, kind of like transforming it,
mm-hmm.
and cutting the song off and on. So it's like it gives this transformer sound. So it's like you're just like recreating it with the mixer.
Maybe we should hear a song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, why just and then we'll when we come back we'll get to question
7,
number six or seven there. All right. This is now the CD's not out until the 11th, right?
Yep.
Tuesday,
September 11th.
Spin Cycles, the name of the CD. Mix Master Mike is the name of the artist, and this is called 3 MCs and 1 DJ.
Mix Master, cause nobody can do it like Mix Master can. Come on, now.
I got the D-double-O style, and here we go again because it's been a while. Manhattan to the Miracle Mile.
My name is Mikey and I'm a lady's choice. You wanna get next to me, no Rolls Royce. You're dead, the man, I hear my golden voice. So when it's time to rhyme,
come
you know
on,
I
get noise.
He's cruising like a fanboy who wanna claim. He'll tweak your ass across the crossfade. So watch your back when he takes the stage. Or send your arm on a naked rampage.
We're just 3 MCs and 1 DJ, and we be getting down with no delay. So Mix Master Mike and what you guys can say.
Someone like a tangerine, fresh like a box of the Krispy Kreme. Can you run this to bed? It's like everything to a dick. Smash the mic. What's up, this guy?
True keys. Always up, getting it in the know.
No.
Get the bucket down, going toe to toe. Huh. The bass is coming from down below. And Norton is chilling with Mario.
And then my name is Ad Rock. I'm a Scorpio. And don't ask me, cause I just don't know.
Don't
I'm
know.
Known to mobbing and I'm known to glow.
Glow. Don't get mad when we got to go.
We're just 3 MCs and 1 DJ. And we be getting down with no delay. So Mix Master Mike, but what you got to say? Mix Master, a cut faster.
This is all that's good and classified. I grab a hold of the mic and let the words glide. It's all hypnotic and sanctified. So I'm never from the bad day slip by.
Now we be getting stupid in your area. We're causing all kinds of hysteria.
Malaria.
But don't worry, I'll take care of you.
Wait, to
me and Adam in the Mario
scene.
In the studio, it's the place to be.
We're
all beings everywhere, be happy and free.
I mix Master Mike,
perfect history.
We're just 3 MCs and 1 DJ. And we be getting down with no delay. To Mix Master Mike and what you got to say.
Mix Master Mike. The CD Spin Cycle is out this Tuesday. That is the 11th. Also, you can find Mix Master Mike over at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles starting at 8 o'clock. What did I say? Did I say the day already?
September 11th.
That's right. The day before. That would be on Monday. You'll be signing advance copies?
Yep.
Perfect. All right. We'll get to more of those questions as the night wears on, and we'll get to some questions from our callers now. Melissa?
Hello.
You're 16?
16, yeah.
And you say you're extra horny.
Mm-hmm.
And your boyfriend only has sex with you once a month.
For the most part, yeah.
And
once a month.
Because he doesn't live around you?
No. He lives out of town. Well, like a 45-minute drive.
How old is he?
18.
Mm-hmm. And does he have a car?
Mm-mm.
And he can't, I'll tell you, when I was 18, if I had some 16-year-old who wanted it pretty bad, I would commandeer some wheels and make that 45-minute drive, which ain't a whole lot of driving. Not for an 18-year-old with a boner. That's nothing. I could hop on my boner that distance when I was 18, like a pogo stick.
Well, I haven't really voiced anything to him.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. Well,
are you sure this is your boyfriend?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't sort of think of it the same way you do.
Possibly.
Well, shouldn't he be wanting to see you more than once a month?
He wants to. He does see me more than once a month. It's just the sexual thing, it doesn't happen, like, very often.
When it does happen, how is it?
It's great.
Everything's fine.
Does he have his own...
satisfying enough.
Does he have his own place?
No.
Not satisfying enough, is that what you said?
Yeah.
When you do have it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an orgasm?
Of course.
All right. Well, I didn't know. A lot of folks don't. And do you masturbate?
No.
Well, maybe that would be your answer.
I have no idea. I don't think it would be. I've tried it once, but not for me.
It's not for her.
Right. That's what I said after the first time I tried it. Of course, that was 35,000 episodes ago, but I did think not for me. Actually, my first thought was, no way I'm doing this more than once every couple of months. I can't commit to this kind of time. But I worked it out. Melissa?
Yes?
Well, I think you got two choices. You either have to see him more often and, you know, have more intimate encounters with him, or you're going to have to figure out a way to sort of satisfy yourself in between seeing him.
What are your options otherwise?
I don't know.
Well, what is your question for us?
Right.
Do you have a plan?
What are you looking for?
You want to break up? Do you want to get a new boyfriend who lives in town?
No, I'm happy with him. I'm just wondering why it's not enough for me.
Well, because this isn't close to enough for most people.
I don't know.
Hey, Melissa?
Right.
Did your spaceship land in a mire somewhere and you just crawl from it or something? You're on Earth, right? You're 16.
Yeah.
You like something. Let's forget we're talking. Let's say it's not sex. Let's say
ice cream
or your favorite TV show or something you just enjoy a lot, and you're only doing it once a month. That's not very often. You'd like to do it more, right?
Well, four times in one day isn't even enough.
That's if you're doing it once a month, or is that even if you're doing it every day?
It's once a month.
Okay. Do you think that you're a sexual deviant or a pervert or something?
Say that again.
Oh, all right.
I have the radio in my other...
Okay, don't have kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Please, no kids.
If four times in one day is what she's worried about when she's only doing it once a month, maybe if she were on a more regular schedule, she wouldn't be pushing it to four times a day. You understand what I'm saying? And if, on the other hand, if four times a day would be not enough, even if she were having sex every day, well, that's a sexual compulsive, and that's a different issue. But she didn't talk about the other things that go along with sexual compulsivity, like excessive masturbation, like engaging in kinds of high-risk behaviors. It's not there.
Yeah.
So it's just the lack of proximity, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Good time. I'm done caring.
I know.
I know. I'm with Mike. Mike doesn't care. I don't care anymore either. I got to start mixing. I mix a salad.
Mean pasta.
I mix a good pasta and a good salad. Maybe I could get up there with some kind of salad bar type thing while you were mixing, and I could do some stirring and mixing or something like that.
Yeah, you could do some blendage.
It's here's what I'm saying. It's time that we cross-pollinate music and food.
In the kitchen, yeah.
It's not been done before.
Well, the Food Channel has got to have something new going on.
Right.
Mix master.
The mix and chef.
That's right.
You just sit there and scratch and mix, and I'll blend. I'll get like a food processor out. And David?
That's right. There you go. Mix master Emerald.
You can sample my Cuisinart. David, you're 32.
Hey, Adam and Drew. I love the show.
David. Good times. What's up?
I got a question for you. My girlfriend, I've been seeing her for about 6 months now, and for the past month, she's developed a problem where when she has an orgasm, she pees.
Mm-hmm.
And it only started up in the last month.
Yes.
Has she ever had it before?
No, she's never had it before.
And where are you when she pees?
Sometimes down there, so it gets a little hairy.
Ooh, bad times. You're going down on her?
So short of a scuba mask, I'd like a different solution.
Where does it come out in a stream like a little baby?
Oh, definitely comes out.
Like a little baby?
You know, little babies lie there and they pee and it goes straight up in the air.
That way, I see. Like a little baby, I see. Or what Adam's asking is this maybe a female ejaculate, not urine?
It's definitely urine.
Yeah. Well, he knows it's urine. Okay. And, do you get squirted? Is it like wiper spray, right? Like pow, like right in the eye?
If she pees beforehand, it's usually just a little bit. If she doesn't, it's heads up, watch out.
Yeah, I mean, if she does it during the orgasm, it'll come flying out of there.
If she hasn't peed before sex, pow.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Is there certain gratification you get from that, certain satisfaction?
No, it's something we'd both like to have stop, actually.
Yeah. See, I told you, Drew, guys aren't into this. They're into the novelty side maybe once or twice, but this is going to get old.
I just think guys like producing something, like evidence of their success.
They like that the first couple of times, but I'd say the novelty wears off pretty fast when you're getting peed on.
Then you deal with it. You manage it. You know what I'm saying? You figure out a way not to get peed on. You figure out how to do that. I don't know.
You don't want to suck before she comes because then it's, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I mean, how do you pull out before the orgasm and the thing comes with orgasm? Well, you can't do that.
I don't think you can do anything during intercourse, but he can certainly protect himself during oral sex.
How?
Well, they call it a dental dam.
Oh, please. No one's going to. Yeah, but you take a saran wrap, you wrap the vagina up like it's some extra turkey you're putting in the freezer, and then you lick on it through the saran wrap. Drew calls that good intimate sex.
If you knew.
That's ridiculous.
They didn't call it a dam for nothing. If you know you're about to be exposed to a flood, you're not going to feel so bad about just pulling that up there at the end and using it like a shield.
Damn, bitch.
Right?
No. That's a horrible.
Why?
Why don't you just get one of those shields the bomb squad uses to approach suspicious packages or get that robot with the eye on it or something? Mike, have you ever been peed on by a girl?
No.
No, you never had that?
No, me neither. No.
I think the dental dam is the perfect solution. I think you worry more about the sheets.
You've got to protect your eyes, too. You put the whole thing up.
You're putting this no. across the...
No.
Yes.
David.
I insist.
You don't like that.
I think his girl been watching them European pornos where they take dumps on each other and stuff like that.
What's that, David?
It really sounds like one of those German porn movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Maybe she got a collection of that.
I think during intercourse, nothing can do but prepare the bed, right?
Listen.
Where appropriate sort of
rain gear.
Does
it go in your mouth or does it go in your eyes?
It depends how quick I move.
Well, what if you didn't move? Where would it hit you?
Square in the face.
Just in the nose and the...
What the hell is wrong with just a little piece of plastic over that? It'll ricochet right off.
I don't approve. I just don't approve.
You just don't like the idea of you licking on top of it, but at least you... Well, how about if you bring it
she
up...
She's not going to have an orgasm being licked with a piece of saran wrap.
Just at the end.
Yeah, but you know, here's the problem with just at the end. She gets very close to the orgasm, and you go, stop, hold on, let me get the plastic out. Let me put a tarp over your vagina.
Yeah.
Like I'm painting your legs or something. No. David, how about some swimming goggles?
Kegel exercises?
And yeah, she needs to do some work. This dental dam thing's not going to work. If she does these Kegel exercises and evacuates her system before you have sex, she'll get some control.
How old is she?
She's 40.
Has she had babies?
No.
Does she have the orgasm during intercourse, you say?
Yes.
Okay, well, just stick with that orgasm. That's enough.
Has she had trouble? Does she lose her urine easily? Does she laugh or sneeze and pee a little bit?
About 10 years ago, she did have surgery to have her bladder enlarged. She said all her life she has the sensation that after she pees, she still has to go.
All right, so she's got urinary problems. There are medicines that might help her evacuate more fully. There's something called Detrol or Ditropan that might help her sort of retain her urine.
How about you get her one of those adult diapers and just put a hole in it, you know, for the intercourse?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
That'd probably work.
It would. That's an angle. That depends for the really active senior. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Mixmaster Mike is here. He's got a CD coming out on the 11th. That's this Tuesday. Monday, going to be at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset. And we'll hear something else off the Spin Cycle CD in the next hour when we come back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. There's some mixing, right?
They're mixing and scratching for some epic.
That's Mixmaster Mike over there. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Spin Cycle is the name of the CD. Out Tuesday, the 11th, coming up this Tuesday, Monday night, 8 o'clock at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset. Mike will be signing the new CD. We'll hear something off that after a couple of calls, and it's back to the phones we go. Steve?
Yeah.
22?
Yep.
What's up?
What's going on? I have a problem with ejaculating with my girlfriend. I don't last longer than like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny, huh?
Yeah. And
actually, it's not very funny to me.
How long have you been with her?
I've been with her for a year and a half.
And it's been this way the whole year and a half?
Yes, it has.
Wow, she's a tolerant woman.
Yeah. How long does it take you again?
Huh?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
3 minutes.
You're a 3 minute brother.
And yes, would she is she satisfied with things?
Actually, she is. She's really happy with me and stuff. But I just want to know how I can last longer with her.
Is she asking you to last longer?
Yeah.
She is.
All the time. The only time I ever last long with her is when I'm drinking.
All right. Well, there's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you give her oral sex?
Yes, I do.
Well, see, you start the clock with the oral sex. So if you do that for 15 minutes and then you last 3 minutes, you're up to 18 minutes. That's the way I look. You punch in when you go down. When you go in the shop, you punch in.
And you get double time down there, don't you?
Golden time.
Golden time, yeah.
What do you call it?
Well, that was that caller we had a few minutes ago.
Yeah, he got golden time right in the mouth. So at least that's good. Now, do you finish her off with the oral sex and give her an orgasm?
Yeah, I do.
But she's looking for something a little different.
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
You sure of that?
Yeah.
Drew, what's...
Is because it, because he said, well, she's so happy and everything's great. And then he went, well, she asks all the time.
Well, she meant she's happy with him. She likes him as in a relationship, but she'd like a little more boinking in the bedroom.
All right.
Drew.
Yeah.
How about, is there a way to numb the penis up a little bit?
There was a study came out of England that showed you could do that. I think more routine kinds of recommendations are better.
Like masturbating beforehand?
Yeah.
Well, how would that work for you, Steve?
Masturbating?
Yeah, let's say an hour before.
Before sex.
Yeah.
Actually, what every other guy says is I don't masturbate, which I think is full bull. I have...
Ooh, with the S word. What do they think?
He's saying he doesn't masturbate at all?
I don't know.
You should be outraged.
I don't know that was his answer.
I think that's where he was going.
Okay, he used the S word.
No, so he says he didn't believe in masturbating.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Which, okay.
Beat off?
All right, hold on. Steve?
Yeah?
Are you saying you don't believe in masturbation?
Well, it's not like I don't believe in it. I don't do it.
You are an asshole.
You don't do it.
No, I don't.
And maybe you should, because maybe that would help.
Well, that's what you're going to need to do.
You need to... take a little steam out of your balls. You understand? You got too much pressure built up.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Well, I don't know. I just feel wrong doing it.
Are you a religious person?
No, actually, I'm not. It doesn't feel right to me at all.
Help us understand that? What's wrong with
it? There's no religion in your family, huh?
No.
What's wrong? What is the difficulty?
Feels dirty?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's why you do it in the shower.
What do I do in the shower?
You whack off in the shower standing up. No
all
mess.
Right, well, I'm game.
Adam feels
22
that.
22 years old, we're having this conversation about masturbation.
Adam feels that self-disgust, too, and self-loathing. But he gets over it.
I get over it almost immediately.
Yeah, well, hey, I just feel weird about it. Seriously.
Well, you're like doing that. Here you go. You're doing it for your girlfriend. It is just a mechanism whereby you're going to achieve what you're looking for with her.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. It's a treatment.
Yeah, okay.
Let's look
at it this way. Is if I said, look, if you did 25 push-ups before sex, you would last another 10 minutes.
Right.
You'd gladly do it.
It's the same thing.
Look at this as a physical exercise for you to do before sex.
Yeah.
It's a workout.
So try it. And Steve, I wonder seriously about his mental stability at age 22. As a male thinks masturbation is dirty and there's no religion involved.
Yeah, but Adam, just because somebody doesn't agree with your view of the world doesn't mean they're sick. I understand violates all your sensibilities.
Yes, and it does.
It shakes you to your core.
Drew, you as a doctor and as a passionate, passionate man, and Mike is a world-class scratcher.
I told you I'm disturbed by this. Don't get me wrong.
Back me up on this. That is bizarre for a 22-year-old guy to think it's dirty. Would you not agree?
I would agree it's unusual.
And would you agree that there's probably other issues this guy has, that it's not just contained to the underpants?
Yeah, you would expect so, but...
You would expect so.
You would expect so.
This is not the kind of guy you'd want to hang out with. Not me.
You wouldn't.
Fundamental
I'm
differences.
Sure he does not like model airplanes.
Like a Jew and a Muslim, we would get along, me and him. EK?
What's up?
Hey, you're 19. What's going on?
First of all, I want to say, Dr. Drew, you're a genius.
Dude.
And Adam,
word.
You're a god.
Thank you.
Hey, Nick, Matthew, Mike.
Yo.
Hey, I read on Rob Zombie's website that you're going to be working with him on his new CD.
I just finished doing all the scratches for his new album. Check it out when it comes out.
What song are you on?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them, except like three of them.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And one more thing. How come Invisible Scratch Prickles broke up?
Oh, because we had other solo projects, so we wanted to lay low and like finish our solo projects, and hopefully come back to like a little reunion later on down the road.
That's cool. I'm here from Frisco too. I'm real proud of you guys.
Oh, dope.
All right.
Thanks, EK. Take care. Hey, when's the Rob Zombie CD coming out?
I think it's coming out next month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, we'll try to get him on the show, and we'll play it, and then we'll go, hey,
definitely.
That's Mixed Master Mike.
Yeah.
Speaking of San Francisco, Mike was saying he was scratching at Pac Bell Park yesterday. You ever seen that park?
Well, not yesterday. It was like the day before.
Yesterday.
Oh, well, yeah. Why are we even talking about it? It was 48 hours
but
ago.
But have you seen that park?
The giant stadium over there?
So, probably the most beautiful stadium in the country.
I've not been in there.
Sure, they had me on the big screen for like a whole hour.
Wow.
Pre-game warm-up and stuff, so I was cutting it up. And
so where were you set up? I mean, physically, we're down on the field.
Right there behind the catcher,
and
right behind the backstop,
home plate.
Right behind the backstop.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had the screen between you and any pass ball that might have ruined your equipment or your precious brain.
Yeah.
And the whole hour before the game. I mean, the game started at what time?
Batting practice. The game started at 7:30, and I took it from like 6:30 to 7:30.
Oh man,
yeah, it was dope.
I'll tell you, that is, to me, San Francisco is the most beautiful city in the United States. And the idea of those crystal blue skies and the clouds and the wind kicking in
off the bay. You're on the bay there with that stadium.
And the home runs going into the water.
Into McCovey Cove. Yeah, it's amazing.
That just sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, it was nice.
They almost ruined it putting the XFL in there. But
oh, they did.
They did.
They're gone now. All right, so you got to sit out there, and did you get to hang out and then watch the game?
Well, before I went on, I was like chilling in the training room with all the guys, like Barry Bonds, all of them.
I heard
Barry Bonds has his own Lazy Boy and big screen in there.
You know, he has his whole own wall where he has a massage chair and a little big screen TV where you chills and watches ESPN, and just he's just like the kingpin running the show over there.
I'd imagine it's a good way to get your teammates pissed off at you.
All the other teammates got these little lockers,
right?
You look to the other corner, it's like Barry Bonds' area.
Does he have it like roped off with a 300-pound black guy who doesn't let you in there?
Well, he has a couple dudes feeding him chicken, and
I've had to learn to live with that with Adam. Guys, I mean,
that's right.
You gotta swallow that and you take it, and
yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's all right.
Right. Well, my dressing room had four raisins in it and some tap water. How dare you, Drew? Your dressing room had didn't you have a shower in yours?
Yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch. All right. No shower. How dare you? John?
So you're the big mirror.
John, I like to look at myself and talk to myself before I go on TV.
Close down.
That's right. John, you're 14. What's up?
Yeah, I'm on a drug called Genotropin. It's an injection for, like a growth hormone.
Growth hormone, yeah.
Okay,
what size are you?
4'6".
What happened?
You mean my penis size?
No. That's a good, thinking like a good 14-year-old. But why do you need the growth hormone? What's going on with you medically?
I don't know. My mom is like, I'd say about 5'5" or something. And I don't, it's just kind of genetic, and so they know that I'd be this size for the rest of my life if I didn't have it.
I see.
Yeah.
And
5'5", not too small for a woman, but
no.
Maybe she's smaller. And so you're 4'6"?
Yeah.
And how much do you weigh?
About 80 pounds.
Not
had puberty yet, right?
Right.
Wait, how old are you?
14.
I'm 14.
Okay. Right, well, what's the question?
I was wondering, the doctor said something about how this was going to affect my puberty, but I didn't know how exactly. Is it, like, is it going to be soon, or is it...
How the growth hormone's going to affect your puberty, or how being small in stature? Yeah. Hold on, you're going to a chick doctor? Oh, yeah. Man.
She said what? She said what now?
She said they check my balls all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good.
She said what now?
She said that it was going to affect my puberty somehow, but I don't know if it's going to slow it down or...
You know what? I can't answer that. I don't know off the top of my head. I would think... I can't understand how it would have much of an effect on puberty.
You take this injection every day?
Yeah, 6 days a week.
And you inject it directly in your penis?
No.
No, well, that's what you should do. And
I can't see how that
this is going to... What do they project? Do they think you'll get up to 5'6" or something like that?
Actually, about... 5'10" to 6'0".
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. They've made some inroads in this department. And do you eat a lot? Do you try to eat more and do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not really.
Let me tell you something about being little. I've given this a lot of consideration. First off, the little guys I know always got a ton of tail. They always got a ton of poontang, and I think it's because chicks figured, look, if push comes to shove, I'll kick their ass. You know, they weren't threatening. Drew, who gets laid more, big dudes or little dudes? Answer the question truthfully.
Big dudes are sort of goofy and awkward.
That's right.
I think little dudes with money get laid
Little
more.
Dudes with money, money right.
Laid more.
Right, but over big dudes with money or just big dudes who are poor?
Over big dudes that are poor.
Oh, okay. I see.
Hey, if you were a woman, would you want some big gross?
No. Women, look, I'm telling you, my buddy The Wheeze, he was all of 125 pounds, a guy got tons of tail. Always.
He's a waif model.
All these matinee guys, these little Davy Jones type guys, and all these little weaselly guys in the past, always got a lot of tail.
Yeah.
So you can look forward to that, John. You really can.
Look at Tattoo.
Yeah. He got tons of ass.
Mini-me.
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 They
That's
got
right.
busy.
That's right. Did hop up to get himself wedged in a vagina, but he did it. And so, John, don't worry about the women. And then you'll never have to fly first class because coach is first class for you. I mean, it's a good thing. You understand?
Yeah.
Miata's like a Corvette for you.
Yeah, you'll be in good shape. Don't trip.
I can't see how the puberty would affect... be affected by the growth hormone necessarily. If anything, I would think it would accelerate that.
All right.
So.
Your friends cool? Do people make fun of you?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What do they do? What do they call you?
Mini-me.
Oh, yeah. That's got to suck.
Yeah, Vern Troyer. There you go.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bad timing with that Austin Powers thing, right when you came out.
It was Wizard of Oz before that.
Well, okay. All right. At least you're not a munchkin.
Yeah.
All right, John, take care of yourself.
Okay,
you study hard. And remember, little rich guys get a lot of ass, according to Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
What'd you want to say?
I just want to say thanks, guys, because, yeah, it's taken me a long time to get call in or whatever, but thanks for your help.
Okay.
Everybody.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right. Let's hear something from Mixmaster Mike. What do you say?
Yeah.
This off the Spin Cycle CD, which is coming out on the 11th. That's coming up this Tuesday.
This one's called Board Burner.
Yes.
Check it out.
Here comes the music.
Little ditty called Board Burner from Mixmaster Mike. Spin Cycle's the name of the CD, and that is out on the 11th. And on the 10th, we'll be signing at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset, starting at 8 o'clock. So get down there. Get down there early. Get Spin Cycle, and then you'll sign it for him, right?
Definitely. Come through, right. Yep. I'll sign it.
We'll squeeze in one more call here. Robbie?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah. I've been diagnosed with antisocial personality, borderline personality disorder, manic depressant, and one said I may be bipolar.
Mm-hmm. And you want to go camping this weekend, or...?
What's that?
No, just checking.
Just taking how he makes you feel. You get that? You see that?
All right. And so...
But you get that right away?
Oh, shit.
No, it's just interesting. Poor Robbie. I mean, it's...
Yeah, poor Robbie.
Poor Robbie. He gives people a feeling right away.
Yeah. So what do you want to do about it there, Robbie?
Well, the bad part about it is I've been married since May, and we've been together for 5 years, but I can't stay with her and be happy. I mean, she's a good person. It's just I can't stay in a relationship. I mean, it's been like this my whole life.
Yeah, that is sort of a hallmark of character problems, personality disorders, that really when you're in a relationship, that's where the craziness really comes out. And if you're truly a borderline, which is kind of unusual in male patients, but there is such a thing, the point being is you have a real primitive kind of emotional system you're operating with, and it becomes extremely chaotic and intense and sometimes destructive to be in a relationship.
So you mean it's sort of overwhelming for you to be in a relationship?
Yeah, I get suicidal being so unhappy being in a relationship, but yet when I'm not with...
You freak out as soon as she leaves, though, too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the old borderline stuff.
A lot of guys. I think I got that, too.
No, but he really's got it.
Okay.
That's not the antisocial.
Yeah, all right. So do you have any kids with her?
Yeah, I've got one now and one on the way.
That's smart planning there, Robbie.
It wasn't no planning going on there.
Well, not planning is the same as having a bad plan. Write that down, Drew.
Not planning, not planning. Got it.
Okay. So, Robbie, now that you got the kids, you're going to have to basically take a stand and fight this thing and work through it. I mean, you're seeing somebody, right?
I'm making some appointments to go see somebody. I don't know if it should be a therapist, a psychiatrist.
Well, start with psychiatry, and they can help sort of figure out what's going on diagnostically. And if you are bipolar, there should be some medication to help out. But this business of not being able to be in a relationship and not being able to be without one is really the domain of therapy, the need to develop a sense of yourself, have a self, and have an emotional world that you can kind of regulate on your own.
Hey, Robbie.
Yeah.
How's your wife? I mean, does she understand what you have? And if you told her, you know, hey, there's certain days when you just need to check out. I don't mean move out, but I just mean be left alone.
Yeah, she understands that. She's very helpful. I mean, she's the one that's trying to get me the help that I need and everything. We're separated. I live at my house. She lives at hers. And I mean, she's still wanting to stay married in case we can work this out.
All right. Well, you're planning to get some help. Follow through. Go do it.
You got your own pad?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not moved back in with your folks?
No.
You got your own pad, and she's got her own pad.
Yeah, unless you're doing that by robbing banks, your antisocial elements can't be that bad.
Yeah, you're
right. Well, I'm a truck driver, so I'm by myself all the time. So that's the only job that I can have and be happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you got a lot of that stuff that plugs into the cigarette lighter?
No, I sure don't.
Yeah. I actually get some of that. I'm always fascinated by that. There's one called the sandwich maker. I can't figure out how that works, but you plug it into your cigarette lighter, and apparently you get sandwiches.
Quote monsieur, huh?
Yeah. All right, so, hey, Robbie?
Yeah.
I do, look, you got a situation. We were talking to someone earlier tonight about this. It's, you're going to have to kind of fight for this.
I've been trying to fight for quite a long time, and it's just, I don't know if I should be on some medication.
Yeah.
Well, you heard what I said.
Probably should.
See the psychiatrist first. You probably need some medication. Then you need therapy.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
And get into that stuff, and you know, so you don't do that white line fever thing where you take the truck and you know, drive it through the big sign and you go nuts like Jan Michael Vincent did. That was an excellent movie. They don't make enough movies about truckers anymore. You guys notice that?
No, they don't.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of those convoy movies, a lot of guys driving trucks, sitcoms about guys with trucks.
Because they were
smoking the bandit.
They were living their own life their own way, and they weren't having them kissing the man's ass. Okay, Adam?
People were singing about driving a truck. There was no better time to drive a truck than like 1976, 77. Now you drive a truck, no one cares. Back then, it was pretty romantic business.
It was pretty in with the folded hat and stuff like that in the back pocket.
Yeah,
that's right. And there's always some sheriff with a bad mustache and those mirrored sunglasses who was trying to give you a hard time, and all you were trying to do was see America and deliver some goods, man.
Yeah,
and he was coming down on you. But
Jackie Gleason was coming down.
I'm gonna barbecue your ass, boy.
Well, I want to talk to Dan.
I love that Smoking the Bandit movie.
Wait, just a second.
Yeah. True, you got to see that Smoking the Bandit.
I've seen it. It's Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds laughing.
No, that's Cannonball
Run.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, Dan, 47. Dan, what's up?
I have edema, and I don't know what the cure is. I've been taking antihistamines and
Edema of what?
Of my legs and my arms. I'm really worried about it because I think it's the same as elephantiasis. And I've seen advanced cases in your arms and legs.
What are you? Wait a minute.
Stop the blood flow, and I have to cut them off.
This guy sounds like the killer from Silence of the Lambs. Is that you? No?
Let's take a break.
All right, Dan. Hey, Drew.
Here's what it says up here.
Yeah, good instincts to talk to Dan before we got to ring. So we can all get good and freaked out before we go to break? You know I can't pee now. I won't be able to pee. I can't perform.
You will in front of me. Don't worry.
Okay. Mixmaster Mike's here. We'll take a little break. We'll get back with Dima Dan after this. Back in a minute. Who was that? Was that Rob Schneier? Who was that?
Rob.
Oh, we didn't have our headphones on. Mixmaster Mike is our guest tonight.
Yep.
Spin Cycle's the name of the CD. Out coming up this Tuesday, Virgin Megastore on Sunset on Monday night, 8 o'clock. Going to sign those CDs for you. And I'm a little bit worried about getting back to Dan.
We'll get it over with.
Yeah, let's just get it over with. Dan 47.
Yeah.
So, Dan, you're having edema, right?
Yes.
All right. There are.
What's edema, Drew?
You start getting fluid retention in your system, and you start swelling up. You don't have to worry about having amputations unless your skin starts breaking down, but it does mean there's something very serious medically going on with you. It's either medication, if you're on medication, kidney disease, liver disease, or heart failure, and it does need to be treated. It needs to be treated now. So you need to head off to an emergency room and get this looked into to see what's going on. Okay.
All right. And that's true about that hooker.
What hooker?
She's the one that can make your dick 3 feet long.
Who? What hooker is this? I've not heard of her.
I live right next door to her.
How would she do that?
I don't know. She just did. She did it to me.
She made your penis 3 feet long?
Yeah.
Maybe she shrunk the rest of your body so your penis seemed 3 feet long.
No, I'm not kidding. She can really do it.
Maybe it's the edema, because the edema will start settling into your testes and penis eventually. It will. I've seen people's testes.
Is there any other way? How do I get it treated? What do they use to treat edema?
Lasix.
What?
You get IV Lasix to start with. But it depends what the cause of the edema is. You got to go in and check it out.
Oh, God. I hope it's not biological. I hope it's just chemical or something.
Right. Hey, Dan?
Yeah?
Do you have a job?
No.
Yeah. Shocking. What's up? You're unable to work?
Loser. Well, I have problems, mental problems.
Oh, okay.
As a little kid, they,
Well, hold on. Are you taking care of those? You taking medication and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
You're not dangerous to anybody or yourself?
No.
Just a pain in the ass to your family?
No.
Okay. Good. Take care of yourself and take care of your edema.
All right.
And stop fantasizing about this crazy witchy hooker. Now, there's a song.
Homeboy sound like Buffalo Bill.
Witchy hooker. That's what I'm saying.
You sound like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Pretty scary there.
he sounded like he was sucking on an ether ring.
Taters.
No, that's Sling Blade, you idiot. These French fried taters. He don't need a Sling Blade. You trying to rape mama. I got a Sling Blade and I went upside his heel. I like to play football with boys. Yeah, you going to finish them taters? Rose?
Hi.
You're 41?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
First of all, I'd like to say that a friend of mine wrote me and said that he listens to your station every night to love. He said wanted to listen to it with me. He's incarcerated. And I've been listening for about a week now, and you guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, this is a long, complicated story, but I originally came here from Las Vegas, and my husband was incarcerated. I came here with two kids and to a mutual friend of ours where I met this other guy whose girlfriend was incarcerated. And
Rose, would let me stop for a second. When 80% of the people you know are doing time, isn't that... Don't you have to sort of stop and examine your life at a certain point?
Just keep going west.
I have. Believe me, we're making some changes. But
all right.
Anyway, now he's incarcerated.
All right.
In the meantime...
What's everyone getting incarcerated for? Drugs?
No, he just for introducing two people. And
all right. That happens. I remember I set my sister up with my now brother-in-law, her husband.
They sent your role out for 10 years.
Yeah, I went down for that. Did some pretty good time. It was worth it. I got my nephews out of it, but I did do time for that.
Rose, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, who cares? Just keep BSing and go ahead.
Okay. You didn't follow me? Okay. When I came here from Las Vegas, my husband was already incarcerated.
Right. Everyone's incarcerated. But
for introducing each other.
What's the problem?
What me and my friend did that's incarcerated now is we became very close.
This is a male.
I'm sorry?
That's a man that's incarcerated?
This was a male friend whose wife was incarcerated
girlfriend,
and now he's incarcerated too.
Now he's incarcerated.
All right, you got very close.
Uh-huh. Before he got incarcerated, yes, I became very close. Actually, I had one of the best times of my life. He was just a lot of fun to be with.
Sure.
And he lifted a lot of my burdens. When I got here, I was a mess.
Right.
But our time together, I was very happy. And
okay, I understand. It really sounds like a storybook romance. I mean, before he got hauled off to jail.
Well, yes. Now our time together is pretty much up. I mean, it's over.
What can we do for you, Rose?
We were substitutes. How do I get over this and just put it in my memory as something that was...
What's great? He in jail for?
He introduced two people that did a drug run.
I see. And
he doesn't do any drugs himself at all?
No.
And when does he get out of jail?
He's looking at 1 to 3.
So I don't know how long he's been in, though. That could be tomorrow he gets out.
But by the time he gets out, his girlfriend will be out and my husband will be out. So pretty much it's over.
And how is it that he's doing 1 to 3 on his first offense?
Oh, wait a minute. Just hold on. Rose, what if you spring him with a, you know, daring helicopter out in the out in the workyard kind of move or something, get a good 6-8 months with him before everyone else gets paroled? Or you cause some sort of prison riot. And you know, it's a bad sign. Hold on a second. When you're pining for a guy who is not going to be paroled for another year or so, but the problem is his old lady and your old man are going to be paroled simultaneously, so you never have any real alone time. I mean, at a certain point, when do you kill yourself as a human being? You know, when do you just look in the mirror and go, look, I'm waiting. My best friend's, you know, the guy, my husband and the guy I'm cheating with is in. They're both in. And then my best friend's getting paroled. Everyone's getting paroled at the same time. Ironically, it'd be funny if she got sent in as they were coming out. Like they passed each other.
They're introducing
at
someone.
The gate. Yeah. Hey, Rose.
Yeah.
First thing I'd like you to do, if I'm sure your parents aren't alive, your dad isn't, right? But your mom is?
No, neither one of them are.
Oh, they're both died. Okay, I was going to... Now, I'd like you to urinate on their grave, because they did a horrible, horrible job with you. They really failed you.
Why, for picking...
Yes, yes, you hang out with horrible people.
No, they're really good.
Yes, they're great, they're great. Okay,
no,
so...
No, they really are good.
Okay, well, listen, there's nothing you can do. You still haven't told me when they're coming out. You told me they're doing 1 to 3, but I don't know when they went in.
Well, the girlfriend's coming out about November.
Okay.
And my husband's coming out in about May.
Okay. Well, hopefully I'll have a nice new tattoo and plenty of stories to regale you with. And your job is... you don't have any kids, do you?
Two.
Two of them.
Yeah. How old are they?
15 and 13.
I hope they're girls so they get into prostitution and not into violence.
No, you guys got it all. You got it all wrong.
What are they?
I mean, you guys got it all wrong.
What are they? Boys?
A boy and a girl.
Yeah, all right. You keep that boy from killing people, you understand?
Oh, he's a good kid.
All right. Mm. By your standards.
No, he is a good kid. He got AB all through summer school. He's doing good.
Okay.
And my daughter's an AB honor roll. They used to be, I know you disagree with this, but they used to be in Christian schools.
All right, no, I'm fine with that.
No, and so get them back in there.
And I used to be a foster mother.
That does not surprise us at all.
Okay, baby.
So it's a wrong place, wrong time.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, bad timing.
You don't believe that, right?
No, I know that sometimes people do time just for introductions and being in the wrong place.
No, sometimes people do stupid things and
right. That's fine. Listen, you take care of your kids. Don't have any more. And forget about this guy you're pining for that's in prison. You got your old man coming out.
Now, that's not being nice, because he's the one that listens to you every night, and he thinks you guys are great, and you guys don't even know him to know.
I know he's a wonderful individual. I'm just saying you can't do anything. This is just something in the past.
Right.
It's a nice
memory.
Something
in the past.
That's right. Okay. Listen, I don't want to... Listen, all you incarcerated guys, you know, I'm your best friend on the outside. I don't need you putting a shiv in me or anything. I'm big fans of the incarcerated. I know you're all there for being wrongly accused. It's all that... all that you didn't, you're all been framed. That's what I'm saying. I have no problem with any of you. Anna?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, about 4 years ago, I started doing speed, mm-hmm. and I started slamming, and I was forced to stop.
Now, slamming is shooting speed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
What do you mean you were forced to stop?
Well, it was just because my boyfriend was like, it's either me or that, and I didn't want to be the junkie.
Okay.
So, but I never really, it was always like, oh, I didn't stop, I'm just waiting to relapse.
Right. You're just taking some time off.
Yeah. So I really didn't fall back into it, but I did it between now and then. But in the beginning of the year, my boyfriend went to jail, and I was bored. And I went down the street.
Introduce someone?
And, right.
You got some speed?
Yes.
Okay.
And I started getting high again.
All right.
Are you lonely?
I was very lonely and bored.
All right.
Well, bored is just the feeling you have before depression. Bored is what addicts experience as a way of trying to get them to go do something lest they have a feeling. So, bored, I'm bored, I got to do something.
You do the speed alone, though, huh?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that doesn't sound like a good alone drug.
No, it's not nice alone.
Right.
Yeah.
You just end up picking at yourself.
Yeah, something like that.
So okay. You're saying all your friends do it around you?
No. Not. It depends who it is. I mean, it's something you want to keep hush-hush.
Right.
But it's something that you can share with some people.
What's the question?
My question is at the beginning of the year, I fell into it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then around March, I lost everything. My house, my freedom, I went to jail, I lost my car, my job, everything.
That'll do it to you.
And then I was like, okay, well, now I'll stop. Because I don't want to be the junkie.
Well, Anna, you will not stop without treatment. There's just no such thing. It's a disease. It has progression. It will not stop by itself.
Are you doing it now?
This is what makes it addiction. Now, hang on a second. Is that if you could just stop because you wanted to stop, you're not an addict. What? You could just stop because you decided you wanted to stop. Enjoy. Go ahead and stop. But the whole nature of being an addict is you can't stop. And when you can't stop, it's because of a certain biology that's been triggered that has to be treated.
Drew's never more animated than when he's telling someone they have a big problem.
Well, like yesterday morning, I woke up, and I just had it on my mind. And
yeah, all right.
An addict.
Yeah, you got to get treatment.
You have to be treated. There's just no, you have no option unless you want to die of this disease.
I mean, like antidepressants, I've been
no, counseling. No. You need to get into a program. You need to spend a few months in a program. You don't spend it at least 3 months somewhere, and if you don't do it, this ain't going
to
get better.
And all the friends you do it with, you just need to cut them off and just clean yourself up, you know?
Hey, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's the deal. The speed's a horrible, horrible drug.
Yeah.
It's not a friendly drug like mushrooms or weed or peyote or ecstasy or coke or alcohol. What did I leave out? Oh, booze. Oh, my Christ. I almost forgot booze. Should I break into subsections of booze? Vodka, whiskey, scotch. Okay. It's not a good. It's an evil, evil drug. Yeah. You're 19 years old. You've already lost everything. You've already done time. You don't want to. It'll kill you. But even if it doesn't, it'll just ruin your life.
It will not work to switch to another drug either.
You have here's the deal. You have to quit. Let's just do it now. And let's do it professionally. Yeah,
while you're still young.
That's
right.
So hard.
Yes,
I know.
It's hard. If it were easy, you'd do it.
You would have done it already.
Yeah. Listen, go to a sober living. Spend a few months there.
That's
it. I can't afford something like that, though.
It's about $400 a month.
Hold on, Drew.
It's about...
Drew, would you shut up? You can't afford not to.
Because, man...
You can't afford not to. Thank you.
Because the world...
Shut up. All right, Anna.
Anderson, help.
Take care of yourself, please. The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. You can't afford not to.
And listen, she could stay at a sober living for the cost of 1 week of her speed habit.
Oh, yeah?
She's
that much now, huh?
She found the money to spend it on the speech.
Hey, now that I'm rich and coke has never been cheaper, I'm thinking about, you know, getting back
starting
into
up.
That.
Hey, good.
Okay.
Good times. It'd be a hell to deal with. Like, you're bad enough when you're sober.
Really?
You
think I'd be bad on coke?
Oh,
I think I'd be bad on coke. You don't think I'd be better on coke?
Please,
Bob. Mixmaster Mike is here. We're going to take ourselves a little break. I'm going to do a little bump with Drewski, some of that good pharmaceutical stuff he keeps in the trunk of his van, and we'll be back after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Mixmaster Mike is tonight. Spin Cycle's the name of the CD. It is out coming up this Tuesday, and the day before that, on Monday, he can be found at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset, 8 o'clock, signing them CDs. So get out there early, get in line, get the CD, and get Mixmaster Mike to sign it for you. And let's talk to Earl, who's 34. Earl?
Yeah.
What's up there, Earl?
You're a genius. I forget your name, Adam.
Thank you.
But I was calling about the guy who, the little kid that was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 4'9", and I was taking those shots at one time. I stopped them, though.
You're taking the growth hormone shots?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But they wouldn't have worked for me. All it would have did, just like for me to grow hair, have a harder and...
Is growth like hormone, is that a steroid?
Pretty much.
No, it's a peptide.
Mm-mm. But when I was younger, they had some pills called Anavoid.
That's androgenic anabolic steroids.
Okay, and it didn't make you grow, or maybe it did. Who knows? Maybe it would have been 3'5".
Well, just a little, not much.
Yeah, okay. those drugs actually cause the growth plates to close early. And actually, you end up shorter when you take those drugs.
So the doctor I'm seeing now, he said if I was taking the testosterone like earlier, maybe, you know, I could have been taller or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was taking the testosterone and just recently, but I stopped because I got tired of going like every few Fridays just to go get a shot.
Well, you know they have testosterone patches now and creams and things. You don't have to have the shots.
Yeah.
How's, and you just put those right on your balls?
In that area.
I see.
And now I was getting a shot in the butt every other Friday.
You don't have to get the shots.
How's your life been as a short person? It's been all right?
Yeah, it's cool.
And, you know, you're 4'9", so you're not technically a midget or a dwarf, are you?
No. No. But I have to take my ID everywhere I go. I go in a place and I want some beer, and it's like, get to the counter, it's like, ID, you know.
That's the other thing I didn't address. Another perk of being a small person is...
Never get old.
You do a thimble of scotch, and you're effed up, right? Uh-huh. You really save some money on booze.
Yeah. And food, too.
Exactly.
The guy pours you a shot in the camp. The Jane B. bottle, and you just do it, and you're effed up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So your life's going okay, Earl?
Yeah, it's going fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Going really.
All right, well, thanks for checking in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good times.
So, all right, you too.
Enjoy that leg room and coach.
Mm-hmm. I sure will.
All right.
Okay.
That's what I was questioning. That other caller was taking the growth hormone, was that he didn't have the usual indications for it. He didn't know, at least, whether he was pan hypopit or what was going on with him.
But,
so.
Drew, wouldn't you need to take that growth hormone in your sort of normal growth cycle, life cycle? I mean, if you started taking that thing at 30, it's
not going to do anything.
You're done.
Yeah, you're
right?
done. Yeah. Growth plates are closed.
After 18, after 17?
After puberty, yeah. The puberty is when the final growth spurt occurs.
So you need to be taking that thing from, what, 13 to 18, basically.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the window shuts, and that's about it. And other than that, you just got to get on the rack, right?
Right.
All right. We will talk to Michelle, who's 36. Michelle?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my daughter's 15 years old. She is dating a 21-year-old. And I know it's like it's a long thing. She was molested by my ex-fiancé, her stepdad, who's now in prison.
Yeah, well, she's gonna have all kinds of stuff with men, and she's gonna pick abusive men. Did she get her much treatment?
She's in major treatment. She ran away from home for like a month, did all kinds of drugs, ended up in juvenile hall for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is now back home.
So this recently happened?
Yeah. Well, I found out about it in January.
And you broke up with the guy, or?
We were already broken up.
You just found out in January that she'd been being sexually abused?
Yes.
How long did it go on?
For 2 years.
Oh, bad times.
See, this takes this is not, you can't say, she's had all kinds of treatment.
Yeah.
This takes a long time.
Well, the thing is, I have so much guilt for not seeing.
Right.
You know, not seeing what I should have seen.
Were you victimized this way at some point?
Sure.
Never.
Huh? Never, really?
Never.
Just hooked up with this guy, huh?
I trusted him. I mean, he was like one of the most trustworthy, I thought, people ever.
Yeah, that's why you never trust the trustworthy.
Oh, God, I don't trust anybody anymore.
All the more reason why we got to believe something happened to you.
Alcoholic dad, at least?
Nope.
Really? Just now you should really feel bad now, because you just got bad. You got a bent antenna. Got hooked up with a bad guy. Okay,
yeah,
well, look,
yeah.
I don't want to beat you up, even though I seem to enjoy it. But let's talk about here and now. How about this 21-year-old guy? How bad a guy is he?
Well, he doesn't seem to be a bad guy. He just, I mean, I don't think he has a job. He does tattoos, I guess. And
Michelle, please, Michelle, there you go. What is with you?
Well, I mean,
You can't tell when she's with a guy that's going to be potentially destructive for her?
Well, here's the problem, Michelle. You have a 21-year-old guy who's dating a 15-year-old.
He's flawed.
He's bad by definition.
He's flawed.
Even if you got the world's greatest 21-year-old who thought it was a good idea to date a 15-year-old,
flawed.
He'd still be a bad guy.
Right. My daughter's whole thing is that, my mentality, of course, is not 15.
Michelle, she's 15.
Right.
What is up with you?
I know, but what is she supposed to do? I mean, because at this point, it seems like she's on damage control. Let's not get her pregnant. Let's not get her an STD.
Contain and get her into treatment. Get her into... She needs long-term treatment. Contain her and be very, very firm with the limit setting. Don't just let it ride. It's going to let it ride into further and further destructive behaviors.
Okay, we'll take a break. Go out on that happy note. All righty. Well, there you go. Another fantastic week of Loveline in the ground. I want to thank Mixmaster Mike for coming in here and hanging out with us.
Right up.
Spin Cycle, name of the CD, at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset on Monday, and then the CD comes out on Tuesday, everybody, mm-hmm. So do not miss that. I want to thank Damien for doing a great job on the phones, always in a good mood over there. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara.
That's
God
right.
Damn it,
you
is that
right.
Right?
You got it right.
Always screw that one up. What's this other one's
Lauren,
name?
Lauren, don't call me Lauren.
For, bringing her dog here and basically looking after the dog and the pretzels. And, of course, our own mix master, Engineer Anderson.
I hate that guy.
For sliding those potentiometers up and down. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm going to barbecue your ass, boy.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.